Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you just trust him, trust in God, he'll work it out. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is True Vine International Ministries, and I am your sit-in host for the angel of worship, Pastor Walona Waters, and I thank her once again for allowing me this assignment to sit in for her on her pulpit this evening. Amen. God bless. We pray God for her, and we thank God for her, and we pray a speedy recovery for her. Amen. Glory to God. We just got to put everything in God's hands. The song says, if we trust in God, he got you. Never doubt. He'll work it out. And we have to take doubt and separate it and substitute it for faith. Substitute doubt for faith. Trust and believe. Take faith, which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of the things not seen. Amen. Glory to God. Once again, we rise and grind for Jesus, and we thank God for this day that he has given us, this new day, this new air, this new oxygen, this new sunshine, this new rain. Whatever your weather may be, wherever you may be at, thank God for the new health and strength. Amen. Glory to God. So let's start with Father God. We thank you for you. We thank you for being you. Father, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you. We pray that we just continue to trust you more. We pray that no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what we may face, no matter what the future holds, we pray that we would just trust in you more. We pray that we would be confident in you. We'd be confident in our faith in you. We pray that we would stand strong in you. Father, help us to also trust in our surroundings, trust in what you tell us to do, trust in you more than we trust in ourselves, God. We just have to trust you. We love you and believe you. We say you are our rock. We say you are our pillar. We say you are our author and finisher of our faith. We say that you are everything. So today, Father, we're praying a prayer of trust. We're trusting you and believing in you like never before, God. We thank you for newness and all that you do. We have said this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. We want to thank all our listeners, all our supporters. I don't like to use the word old, but new, old. If you're new to the show, amen, thank God for you. And if you've been around for a while, God continue to bless you also. Amen. We're going to be in the book of Genesis today, and we're going to go into the Bible. We're going to discuss a certain scripture, and we're just going to talk about some things. I was sitting here and I was thinking, and I was talking to God, and I was thinking about how sometimes our life never changes until we be obedient to God. And what I mean by that, sometimes God is telling us to do things and it just don't seem right to us. We just don't believe that's God. That's not my husband. That is not my wife. That is not what God is telling me to do, because it's uncomfortable. And anything that's uncomfortable, we don't believe that it's God. Amen. So if you go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 12, we're going to start at verse 1. And for once, and we're going to focus on verse 1. Amen. I'm going to read the scripture, but we're going to just focus on that verse for a moment. Amen. Amen. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, and to a land that I will show you. Amen. Glory to God. A land that I will show you. Get out. Go. And every now and then we have to know where our place is. We have to know where we don't belong. Because, see, God knows where we don't belong. And a lot of times he tries to move us out of a place where we're so comfortable in, and we're thinking, and that's where we're supposed to be. But God is saying, move. God is saying, go here. God is saying, leave your job. God is saying, that is not your husband. God is saying, go back to school. God is saying, Just wait. God is saying, move now. We get so comfortable with our familiar surroundings, and we get so comfortable, like anytime we are uncomfortable, the first thing we say is not God. Anytime we get uncomfortable, why we question God. Why you want me to move? Why you want me to do this? Why you want me to do this? But God knows what's best for us. Just think, like, one of the critical things that I think about, and some of us, sometimes we may forget about the resurrection. After Jesus was crucified, and early that Sunday morning when they went to the tomb and they was looking for him because they thought he would be in a place that they saw him last. And a lot of times that's what happens to us. People think you're going to be where they saw you last. The last time I saw you, you were standing on the corner with your homies. So I see you now. I think that's where you're going to be, but that's not where I am, because once I start following God and trusting God and believing in God and doing the things God say, I'm a new creature in Christ now. So because you saw me there last, that don't mean that's where I'm at, because a lot of times that's the things that, that's how people look at us. We would like that we're in that place that they saw us last. And a whole lot of people aren't going to be able to find you because they keep thinking you're going to stay broken. People think that we're going to stay broken, and so they can't find you, because you, when God move you to another place that everybody is used to seeing you on 15th Street, and that your house been there forever, and they know God done moved you in the middle of the night, and you done moved from Philadelphia all the way across the country to Germany somewhere, and most people, when they don't see, they think something's wrong. Oh, he must be in jail. He must be hiding from somebody. Oh, he must be still going through. You must be broken. But God is moving for his glory. He's moving us for prosperity. And we're going to talk about how he moved Abram, and look how and what the things that he promised him. And God keeps his word. So if God is telling you to move away from that man, God knows he's for whatever reason. If he doesn't hit you once, God knows he's going to hit you twice. If he stole from you once, God knows he's going to steal from you again. If God knows the people, the job is embezzling, or they're not living a life that's pleasing to God, God wants to remove you from a situation. But we'd be so happy with the income. Oh, my God, you know how much I make here? But look at the heartache you have to go through. Look at the compromise in your relationship with God that you go through. Think about the things you do and see if they line up with the will of God for your life. See if they just line up with God's commandments. And see if God is pleased with some of the things that we compromise our relationship with God for, just to stay in a place that God is trying to move us from. God is trying to move you out of a relationship. But, oh, what you think? Oh, I don't want to be lonely. I'm too old to be lonely now. If that's your flesh talking. What you mean you don't want to be lonely? You ain't lonely as long as you got Christ Jesus. Listen, when we start focusing and thinking in the spirit realm, the flesh, you will beat that flesh down so bad. You're not lonely. Just your mind, the trick that the enemy are telling me, you're going to be lonely. Nobody wants you. If you let him go, if you let her go. No, if God is telling you to let that individual go, or if God is saying, no, not now, it's not the time to be married. If God is saying, no, not now, don't invest in that. Don't work there. Don't get a job yet. We have to listen to God. We have to listen to God. Because I just believe a lot of times, once we change our location, you know, we got to change our mind frame, and we have to change our positions. We have to change so many things about us. And we have to start believing in the things of God. Because you got to remember, not only did Jesus get up, he left the tomb. He didn't stay. He got up and left. But many of us get up to God fix us. We fall, and we get up, and he fixes. And guess what we do? We stay right in the same mess. We stay right in the same place. God is saying, I took you out of that to put you over here for prosperity, to put you over here so you can grow, to put you over here to get closer to me, to put you over here so you can see better, you can hear better. You ain't hearing right. You ain't seeing right. You ain't knowing right. God, Jesus got up out of that tomb and he left. But see, God is waiting to see when we leave that comfortable position, that dead place, that dead relationship, that dead job, that dead, what we think is comfortable, that dead, that thing that is holding you and pulling you further and further down. We got to know when it's time to leave. Even if everybody around you stay, you got to make up in your mind they can stay. But I got to go to a whole nother place, a whole nother place. Because where you were before the pandemic is not where you're going to be after the pandemic, right? It's time for you to get up and move. And that's how Abraham trusted. He trusted God. God said, move. He got up. He didn't question him. He got up and left. When God called Abraham to move out in faith from Ur to Haran and finally to Canaan, God then established a covenant with Abraham. He told him to move. When he got up and he moved, God, what? He established a covenant telling him that he would found a great nation. Not only would this nation be blessed, God said, but other nations out there would be blessed through Abraham and his descendants. Israel, the nation that would come from Abram, was to follow God and influence those with whom it came in contact. Everybody we come in contact, somehow we should influence them of knowing and knowing and knowing the God in us. We should influence them even more that God is real, even more that God is love, even more that God is peace, even more we should influence them. Because what God said he's going to do, he is going to do. There is no psych in God. Move over here, psych. It's none of that. When God says he's going to do something, count it done. That's a guarantee. Now, that's a guarantee. Amen? Listen. It's moving season. Pack up that old stuff that has nothing to do with God. Put it in a box and move it. And if it don't want to move, you move. Just like that. Like the song, if it don't want to move, you move. Amen? Because you got to remember, Abraham was the father of faith. And Abraham knew a thing or two about being uncertain. Amen. Because when God asked Abraham to leave his home, his country, and everything familiar, everything, such uncertain brought fear and stress. And I understand that. I understand the stress part and even a little fear. But if you trust and believe that God is telling you to do it and know without a shadow of a doubt, move. Because how could Abraham find a new country, a new people? For many years, he and his wife, Sarah, had also struggled with the painful uncertainty of infertility and childlessness. So how could he be able to take care of himself and Sarah in their old age? Would they even find a suitable place to live in this faraway land to which God was calling him? See, now that's the part. You got to know it's God's calling you. Don't pack up and move to Las Vegas and say, oh, I know this is where God wants me to be, Sin City. He's calling me here to rebuke these demons, to bring this down, to cast down all these. Listen, don't don't play with spiritual warfare. If God is not telling you to go there, don't go. Because a lot of times God tells us to go where we don't want to go. Like right now, you might be living in Hawaii. God say move to Alaska. It don't even sound right, do it. But that's how God is. God do things to make us uncomfortable. First of all, to see if we trust him. And then if we do trust him and make the move, do you make the move with a pure, and when I mean pure, with a calm, smooth heart? Or do you sit back and just mumble and grumble, oh, man, I know God always trying to make me do this. No, God wants you to do it willingly because he has a plan for us. Amen. So we move on. We're gonna read the scripture. We're just going to read the scripture, chapter 12, verse 1. And I'm going to stop it, verse 4. Amen. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will show you. I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. He has plans for you and I in the move. He has plans. He has preparations. He has already made preparations. He has already picked out the land. He has already picked out the resources. He has already picked out the favor. He has already picked out the people to give you favor. He has already picked out the people to give you the resources you need to be favorable. He's already done it. The Bible say, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Times we get so caught up in the husband or the wife or the pastor or the boss. It's God, the Lord and Savior, the Holy One, the creator of all things, Alpha and Omega. It is I, the Lord Jesus Christ. I will bless you. I will make you a great nation and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We are an inheritance of that blessing. We are inheritance of that blessing. We are a long line, generational line of Abraham's genealogy. We are part of that blessing. We are part of that. Listen, we got to go and get to a place where we understand how we are connected to the blessings of Abraham. We are connected to those things. We are connected. Verse 2 says what? I will make you a great nation. God promised to bless Abraham and make him great. But God had one condition. See? God has conditions. God has conditions. Abraham had to do what God wanted him to do. Not get to the new house, not get the new mansion, not get the new land, not get the new building, not get the new whatever it may be, and do what you want to do with it, or do what I want to do with it. Or no, we have to do what God says do, because this meant leaving his home, his friends, and traveling to a new city, state, country, land, where God promised to build a great nation from your family. God promised Abraham to build a great nation from his family. And Abram obeyed, walking away from his home. Can you walk away from your Cadillac? Can you walk away from your 6-bedroom home? Can you walk away from your chandelier crystal? Can you walk away from your giant size California bed? Can you walk away and go to an unfamiliar place and trust in God? Because I'm using this because all this lines up with faith. Abraham is a faith walker. Amen. It lines up with faith. He used him to build a great nation. His family obeyed, walking away from his home for God's promise of even. Now hear this. For even greater blessings, greater health, greater wealth, greater prosperity, greater longevity, greater revelation, greater power, greater seeing in the spirit, greater hearing, knowing in the spirit, greater than whatever it was before. God is not a man that he shall lie. So if he said, it shall come to pass. You're even greater blessings in the future. And sometimes God might be trying to lead you to a place of greater service and usefulness for him, for his glory. He just got to get you. You wondering why the church ain't being built up over here, why the ministry ain't being built up over here, why I can't get outreach going over here. Lord, why I can't? Because he want to move you to a better place so he can use you the way, because a lot of times we're distracted when we're in a familiar place, when everybody knows your name and everybody sees you and everybody knows you. Sometimes we get mixed up and believe it's us and not God. Sometimes we can get fused and get big-headed and proud and stick our chest out and I did. And sometimes, you know, we just take God out the whole equation. So God said, I got to move you because I want you to be right. I want you to make it up here with me. I don't want you to perish. I want you to be here everlasting with me. I want you to live up here with me. So I have to move you to a place. Oh, you ever wonder why sometimes you get away with so much stuff? And if it's not you, I'm not talking to you. I just use me. Got away with so much stuff. And then one time I do something stupid like steal a can of tuna fish and I got to go to jail. Now I done robbed, stole, sold drugs, did this, did that. Never got caught. But it's on God's timing, because now you go into a place, you go into prison. You already know who God is. You just wasn't living right. You go into a place and God lets you see the lost souls. And he reminds you why he was raising you up. You're thinking that you have a street ministry and now he's showing you, no, you got a prison ministry. I got you in here. I got you. I'm going to protect you. But I want you to represent me. I want you to be my light in this place. Tell them about me. Tell them how I raised you up before you fell. Tell them how I took you from being a dope fiend to a man of God. Tell them how I took you from being a thief to a man of God. Tell them how I took you from being a liar and a deceiver and a manipulator to a man of God. Tell them that I am real. Tell them I can do the same thing for them. Tell them that if you trust me, he will move for you. If you trust and give your life over to him and let him be in control of your life, I'll do the same thing for you. And we got to remember that we are representatives of Christ on a daily basis. And when God has made those moves, and I believe that most of the people that I've ever talked to that trusted God and made those what we thought crazy moves, God moved so fast. Everything that you lacked, God made sure that you had. Everything you thought you wouldn't, how I'm going to do this, it wasn't. Listen, I'm trusting in God. I ain't worried about that. If God told me to move here, I'm moving. If God told me to leave this job, I'm leaving. If God tell me not to marry this man or marry this woman, I'm not doing it. We got to trust God. We got to get back to truly walking in faith. We know the story how God told Abraham to take his child up there. He had his child and told him up there to sacrifice his child. Now, you know Abraham loved that boy. He just did it. And God knew when he did it, that ram in the bush, he just knew This is my man right here. I can trust him. All I got to do is tell him to do something. He's going to do it. He ain't going to question me. He ain't going to say it's this of God. He ain't going to call an apostle. He ain't going to call a pastor. He ain't going to call a hotline. He ain't going to call TDJ. He's going to move because I know God's voice when I hear it. Amen. We got to get back to building our relationship with God. Amen. God will lead us to a greater service and usefulness for him. And he, listen, don't let the comfort and security of your present position make you miss God's plan for you. Don't let your prestige and all the things and stuff you might have now, don't let that position make you miss God's plan for your life. Amen. Let's not get caught up on the things that, well, you know how long I saved to get this? You couldn't have got it without God. You couldn't have saved it without God giving you whatever it took for you to save, the bank account, the job to get the savings, the money to get the house to furnish it well. All those things come from God. And if he did it there, he'll do it elsewhere. He just said he'll do it even greater. Even greater. God wants us to work for him. He got the best benefits, everlasting life. That's the best benefit in the world. He's going to keep you. He's going to shield you to you. He's going to minister to you. He's going to show you through his eyes, through his word. He's going to speak life into you and to your kids and to your grandkids and to generations after generations after generations. He loves us. We got to get back to faith like Enoch when he was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him before his translation, his transition, he, demony, and the testimony is what pleased God. By faith, Abel offered up unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witnesses that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. We got to get back to the place of walking in faith. Listen, I can't tell you how or what your faith level is. Only you know what your faith level is with God. But if God, if God is saying move, please move. Please move. Amen. Because even Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. But Noah moved out. Noah moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the savings of everybody in his house. When God told him, listen, build the ark. So everybody laughed at him. What is he doing? He's going out there getting wood. He's going out there getting this. And everybody laughed. I thought he said it was going to rain. It didn't rain. Oh, but when the flood came, he was ready. He was prepared because he did it by faith. He did it by faith. And we got to get back to faith. We got to get back to trusting and listening to God and not man. A lot of us are so caught up on someone else saying, now, how does that sound? You just started this business. You just got it off the ground. Your kids are in college. You just went and bought this new duplex house. It has the swimming pool and everything. You just fixed it. And you telling me God is telling you to just pack up and go over here to Arkansas. But our ways is not like God's ways is not like ours. It's not. It may sound silly. It may sound foolish to us. But it's not like God. I mean, it's not, God's ways is not like ours. He knows. He has a plan. He has a plan. He already has everything mapped out. He has a plan. Take a few seconds and think about when you trusted God and you listening to and you listened to God and he told you to move. Did he keep his word? When we was down and out, did he lift you up? Did he keep his word? When he said he would never leave you nor forsake you, did he keep his word? Did he keep his word? We got to understand that God is everything. His word is everything. His word is everything. Somebody somewhere, God is telling you to move. The change is not going to come until you move. What you see now and think is wealth and think is prosperity, because God wants us to move because he has a plan for our life, for him to get glory out of it. Is God getting glory out of your life right now? Can you really say, truly say that God is getting glory out of your life right now? Think about it. We're going to go to a song and we'll be right back.
To make that confession of faith tonight. Say it.
I will never be the same. Not after being with you.
I want you to say this. I came here sick, but when I leave, I'll be healed.
I'll be rich.
I'm changing.
You can't wait on a prophet to come to your house. Sometimes you got to gird up your own loins and prophesy over your own stuff.
Yes, God.
Said I'm changing. I came here sick. Get my granddaddy up these steps here. Come on. I'm changing.
I'm changing.
Come on, man.
Oh, I'm changing, Lord. I won't ever be the same. Oh, no, 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 no. You've done something for me. You've done something for me. Oh Lord, yeah.
Oh Lord, yeah.
You fixed me up. You turned me around. Oh, you planted my feet. Been in my hand. I won't ever. I just won't ever be the same.
I'm changing.
After being with you,
Granddaddy, I know you up in age, but guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You're changing.
Yes.
Yes, I'm changing.
Every day.
Nothing got a hold on me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. He got a hold on me. I'm changing. I'm changing. I'm changing. I'm changing. Thank you, God, because I didn't make the transformation by myself. I wasn't always who I am today. I wasn't always wise. And no, I ain't wise, but I ain't always been the good guy that I am today. And I thank God for the transformation. I thank God for the people he put in our lives and being obedient once you get saved. And God, you know, I believe we ought to be accountable to someone, you know, that knows the Lord, that lives a Christian lifestyle. You know, the devil and the world are trying to make you think that it's boring serving the Lord, that you can't have no fun. But I have fun. I bowl, roller skate, swim. I just do it. I just do things that I do now. I just don't do them the way I used to do them with some of the substances I used to, you know, enhance what I call fun. I just don't put certain spirits in my and God's vessel anymore. Amen. Glory to God. I want to try to finish this lesson if it's possible. Because we was talking about, in spite of all the uncertainties, Abraham, you know, he set out by faith and he was what God wanted him to do. Now, I want to add this to it too, because I think, you know, I didn't want to rush the story, but I want to try to, you know, get some facts about what happens when we try to alter what God, you know, okay, I want to do this, but I don't have this. And God is saying, I got you. Don't worry about this, but I don't see it. And I don't see no way of it happening. So I'm going to alter, or I'm going to do this. And there's always consequences when we go against what God has already planned. Because when we get down to like chapter 15, 2, but and okay, I just do it like this. In spite of the uncertainties, Abraham set out by faith. When his caravan had arrived in Canaan, God abundantly blessed his family, as he promised. But like many childless couples, this is the thing, Abraham asks, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? That's chapter 15, verse 2. And God answered with a promise of an heir. Now, God answered him and told him, he promised him, I got you. I'm going to give you an heir. I got you. I got you. Don't worry about it. But none appeared. Now, see, it ain't happening fast enough. I don't see it. I don't, you know, and you can get to the point that I don't even believe it. And I'm just going to keep it real. I don't see it. So at the urging of his wife, Abraham took matters into his own hands. Now, took matters in his hand, child by his wife's servant, Hagar. Now, this lack of faith brought suffering with repercussions felt even to this day, throughout generations, because the thing with Hagar, even though they told she had him go to the servant and had the child, she got jealous, and then when the baby was born, you take the baby. Listen, I don't want to go into depths of this. Please get your Bibles. Go to the book of Genesis. Start at chapter 12. And please read this story entirely. Because we have to see what happens when we try to take matters into our own hands. Amen. Because in God's timing, Abraham and Sarah conceived a son. But they only did it in God's timing. Right? In their old age, Isaac, whose name means laughter. Look at that. Happiness, joy. God gave him a son, and his name means laughter. Amen. Now, he also was a miracle child. Amen. He was the promised offspring through which all the nations of the world would be blessed. So, just imagine Abraham's terror or horror or the way he may have felt when God asked him to offer up Isaac. We just talked about that as a sacrifice. No. The thought was utterly, utterly incomprehensible. Incomprehensible. Amen. How could the same God who had promised Isaac now to take away the child who seemed to be the only means of fulfillment of the promise? Abraham's agony, protest, And as at the prospect of killing his son, that's crazy, just the thought of it, and sacrifice to God must have brought him unbearable grief. How could there be a future afterward? And yet, with God, there's always a way. Abram was prepared to act, trusting in God's faithfulness. Are you prepared to trust God no matter what he say do, no matter what he asks you to do, no matter how crazy it may sound, no matter how obscene it may sound, no matter how far-fetched we may think it is? Are we really prepared to act on trusting in God's faithfulness? When a ram appeared in the thicket, the uncertainty of the future was met with a dramatic provision from God. However, Abram did not always act in faith. On more, and this is why he's human, just like us, but we have to grab hold to the positive. On more than one occasion, he dishonestly concealed his wife's identity. Read the story, read the Bible. In the effort to protect his own life instead of trusting God for his safety and protection. God got you. God got you. Listen, God will never, never, never let any harm or danger come to us that he ain't prepared to be there to fight the battle for us. He already knows. He already set the path. Last week we discussed how he knew who we were before we did. He knew, he ordained us for certain situations and certain positions in life while we were still in our mother's womb. Even before we got there, he predestined us to be just where we are if you're following God's map of insurance. Now we're doing our own thing. We done made some obstacles come up, but he knew that was going to happen too. He knew I was going to do this. He knew you was going to lie. He knew you was going to steal. He knew you was going to be a sinner. He just knew it through Jesus Christ. We all have a clean slate if we just trust, walk, and believe in the righteousness of God. Abraham did not always act in faith. Dishonestly, we just talked about how he concealed his wife's identity just for his own safety. But we got to understand something. Despite all his failures, he is called the spiritual father of those who have faith. And I'll prove it. Go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 4. I'll prove it. I love to prove stuff with the Bible. It's not about proving it, but I like to make sure it's coming from the Word of God and not from me. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Hallelujah. Circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous even before he was circumcised. So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. They are counted as righteous because of their faith. And Abraham is also the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised, but only if they have the same kind of faith Abraham had before he was circumcised. That's the Bible, the Bible. Through it all, he learned to trust God and to wait for his timing and purpose. He could not always see And we cannot always see and know how God will fulfill what he promises. And like the rest of us, he sometimes stumbled. But as a result of his cloudy vision, he stumbled. But Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Once again, chapter 4, verse 3 in the book of Romans. For the scripture tells us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Amen. Glory to God. We tend to think of giants of the faith as being somehow in a radically different category than we are. And yet so many of the struggles they faced are the same dilemmas we encounter today. Infidelity, inferiority, fear, uncertainties about our future. But when all is said and done, we too must believe God. As we do, we follow in the footsteps of Abraham, the father of faith. In the same way Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith, the real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. And that's Bible. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. This has been an honor to sit on the platform of our angel of worship. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the assignment. We thank you for even thinking of me, Pastor Waters of True Vine International Ministries. I really thank you for this opportunity. It's been an honor. It's been such a blessing. Can't wait to hear you sing, "Walk with Me." Walk with me, Lord. Oh, if you haven't heard us sing it, whew, you'll be blessed. But we want to pray for you on this evening, our sister in Christ, and we want to pray a speedy recovery. We want to pray that the healing angels will rest in you swiftly, and all things will be done in God's timing. Amen. Glory to God. We want to thank all our listeners. We want to pray for those who don't know Christ. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, if you would like to be saved, we ask you to please tune in again next Thursday. We'll have a phone number for you. We have more information that you could call. And if you want prayer, if you want to, you have questions about salvation, about Christ, anything that we can help you, lead you to Christ and have God water you with his holiness, we will be sure to lead you that way. Once again, we thank all our listeners, and we're going to close out with prayer, and we're going to have a song. Amen. Once again, we just thank you all. We pray for Pastor Alona Waters, and we just ask everybody to keep her in our prayers, keep holy hands raised, and keep her in our holy circle. Amen. We know God does everything for his glory. Amen. Father God, we thank you for what you've already allowed to be done today. We thank you for our health and strength on the day. But most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God, we thank you for him suffering so that we may live and have everlasting life. Now we come to the end of this assignment on this day. We pray that you just continue to allow us to be your beacon lights. Allow us to be your servants. Allow us to be used to do your will. Father, allow us to rise and grind for you, God. We love you. We praise you. We glorify you, Father. We ask you to bless those that are still sick and suffering. We ask you to bless those that are home ridden, those who are sick, those who are suffering from addictions, those that are in prisons. We ask you, Father, to send a word of relief, a word of prosperity, a word of change in their lives, God. We trust and know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. So, Father God, we thank you once again for what you allowed to be today. And we know that without you, we are nothing. We love you, God. We trust you, and we believe you, God. And we know that you're in the middle of all things. Amen.
Hello? Am I on? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to.